Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Moms don't wish that they could sleep like a baby. They wish that they could sleep like a dad. Do you know what the digital clock said to its mother? Look, Ma. No hands. Sorry, that's painful. We're going to just jump right in to God's Word in the book of Genesis. My name is Barry. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you have the Cornerstone Church app, you can go there. Open it up on the home screen. Under More, you'll find the sermon notes. There's always more sermon notes in there than just the scriptures that we present, but we will have them online for you, and then as well as on the screen behind me. But if you want to follow along with more sermon notes, you're able to take your own notes in the app. It's in the app, More Sermon Notes, today's message. But let's look together at Genesis. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. This is Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore man shall leave. Now watch this. This is the context. Right here, right now. It's the first time we're going to see father and mother mentioned in the Bible. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. It's the first time father and mother are mentioned in the Bible. And the first time we see mom and dad mentioned in the Bible, it's in the context of separation. There's a leaving. For this reason, a son shall leave mom and dad. Even before the first child is born, this is before Cain and Abel, this is before Seth, even before the first child was born, there's this talk of a separation. It's before Adam calls her name Eve. And God is saying that there's a relationship with your children that's going to change. There will be a separation that takes place. It's a leaving. And it's not because of sin. It's not because of broken relationships. It's not because of rebellion. There's a goodness and a rightness to this kind of leaving. This is before the fall, before eating of the fruit. This is before all of that. Somehow I think God was teaching us that children are our responsibility. He was teaching us something about stewardship and not ownership. About stewardship and not ownership. That we are entrusted with our kids for such a short amount of time. I'm so grateful for our Sunday school teachers and workers right now who are looking after our kids. I am convinced that their pulpit is as important as this pulpit, if not more. If not more. God bless them. This is not babysitting. It's not just looking after the kids. And we partner together as a church family. We bring our kids to church. I remember my mom years ago bringing us four kids to church. And by the time she got here and by the time she left, why did I bother? But there's a faithfulness and a consistency. My dad used to say, God, I'll bring them to church. It's your job to do something with them when they get there. A few years ago, someone shared with me, we were talking about curriculum, Sunday school lessons that we're going to teach as a church. And we were talking through what ones to choose. And they said this phrase, and it stuck with me, and I hope it sticks with you. They said, we're not raising children. We are raising adults who happen to be children right now. And I think it's more than semantics. We are raising adults who happen to be children right now. Now, we don't expect them to act like adults. But if it affects the way that we discipline, it affects the way that we correct. And so we don't punish for past behavior. Instead, we discipline and correct for future, for a positive future. It has everything to do with helping them grow into being adults in the context of love. But there will be a separation. And isn't that what childbirth even is all about? Separating the child from the mom. In Scripture, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3. Scripture quickly talks about children being born. And because of sin, there's a multiplication of sorrow and anguish that's associated with the experience. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Then in a little bit, we're going to jump to the New Testament. So the Lord God said to the serpent, this is after they have eaten, Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve was deceived, but it says that Adam was with her. And she gave to her husband who was with her. And so there's this experience that's already taken place. And this is God speaking now. He says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, Jesus. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, watch this. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He'll rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And here it is, then Adam called his wife's name Eve, life or living, because she was the mother of all living. God explained the consequences of their actions. To Eve he said, in pain you will bring forth children. He didn't say children are a pain. They can be our greatest joys. And they can be, Lisa heard you say that, right? they can be our greatest joys and they can be our greatest sorrows. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she brings Jesus to the temple with Joseph. And Simeon is blessing God and giving thanks. And in the midst of that moment, he looks at Mary and says, a sword will pierce your heart. And we get a glimpse in understanding how children can be such joy and cause us such sorrow. We get a glimpse of the father heart of God when he thinks of his children. And Scripture tells us that his heart breaks. And it literally means this, his heart is crushed. The heart of God is crushed when his children are separated from him. He couldn't stand the thought of losing you, of being eternally separated from you. And so he gave his son, Mark told us already. And so he gave his son that we might have life with him forever. To Eve he said, your sorrow and conception is going to be multiplied, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Women are tough. If it was up to men, it would have ended in the Garden of Eden. That would have been it. Man only gave birth once, and it wasn't to a child, it was to a wife. And we just read that. And listen, all he did was fall asleep. And he woke up and he scratched his side. And he looked, and there's Eve standing there with nothing on but a smile. And God said, that's probably all he can handle. This is a job for a woman. Ever since every person has been born of a woman. This is a job for a mom. Adam had a nap, but now pregnancy is 40 weeks, and it's not all roses. It's not just all 40 weeks of glow. I mean, there is joy and there is glow about women who have a child. Do you know, maybe you've experienced it, some women can tell other women are pregnant before the news is out. I remember Victoria, that when her and Ibu announced, I came home to tell Audrey, I don't think she was in church that day, and our girls, and they're like, we know. It's like, shut up. How do you know? What do you, just, are you kidding me right now? Oh, yeah, we could tell. You could just tell. And it's like, you can't tell. And loved ones, every guy in this place knows you do not ask a woman if she's pregnant, even if it looks like she's hiding a basketball. You don't do it. I had a pastor friend who, we were at a dinner together and people at all kinds of tables, and at one point his table, they just burst out in laughter. And a little later in the evening, I went over to somebody and said, what was that all about? And they said, the pastor asked Barb when the baby was due. And she said, you dedicated him 2 months ago. Whoops. So about the glow and everything and the joy, there is a moment when, and it kind of sneaks up on you, but it's like a switch flips. And that glow can turn into something else, and that's the moment you be afraid, be very afraid. Audrey is so gracious and kind and loving and sweet, and I mean that in all sincerity. But as she was pregnant with our first with Douglas, her body began to change, and sometimes her attitude. And I like to joke. I like to say funny things. But at one point, I stopped. Because I remember saying, can't you take a joke? And the answer was, no. No, I can't. And she demonstrated such strength during pregnancy, but also through the delivery. And I remember, you know, our first child, we're at the Foothills Hospital in the delivery room, and they're saying, yeah, and she was saying, I don't want an epidural, I don't want drugs, I don't want any of that. And they're saying, well, your husband is having all of it right now, you know. So it's like, are you sure? Because we're here. And I think there was only one real mistake that I made, I mean, that I'm really aware of, in those moments when we were there at the hospital. It was taking a long time. And so I thought, it's no sense in both of us not eating. And so I went to the cafeteria, Foothills Hospital. I don't know how late it was. It felt like it was the middle of the night, but I don't know. We had missed supper. And so I went to the cafeteria and I got a burger and fries and gravy. Now, being the sensitive man that I am, and not wanting to leave her alone, and not wanting to miss out on anything, I didn't just stay selfishly in the cafeteria, but I gracefully came and brought a burger and fries and gravy into the delivery room. We've got to keep up our strength, people. It's amazing that we're married, you know, like it's just, it really is. She's so incredibly gracious. But I'm amazed after the first child was born, not ours, but with Adam and Eve, that there was ever a second. Moms are tough. Adam called Eve, called her name Eve, because it means life and it means living, and that she would be the mother of all living. And somehow for Eve and for moms all over the world, for thousands of years, they've said it's worth it, that it's worth it. Which is amazing to me, because it's so difficult and it's so hard and it's so painful, and all the changes that take place and the stress and the worry, and that's just on the dad. But on the moms, it's pretty amazing. Would you be surprised to know that Jesus would talk about this? That Jesus would talk about this experience. He would talk about the experience of a delivery room. Oh, not at the Foothills or at the PLC or the hospital. But he'd talk about this experience about a mom giving birth. In fact, he would talk about it just before. Think of this, of all the things that he could have talked about, he would talk about this just before the Garden of Gethsemane. He's in the upper room. He's washing the disciples' feet. He's talking about love one another as I have loved you. He's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and be betrayed. We're going to see unfold the mock trial, the sentencing, the execution, the crucifixion. And Jesus is with his friends, who he now calls friends. I no longer just call you servants, I call you friends. And he is there with them in that upper room. And he says this, John 16, verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us, a little while, and you'll not see me, and again in a little while you'll see me because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is it that he says a little while? We do not know what he's saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while you'll see me? Most assuredly I say to you, you will weep and lament. He's telling them they're going to have sorrow. And this is going to be the deepest sorrow. You are going to weep and lament. You are going to grieve. Grief is about to touch you. But the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, full of sorrow. But your sorrow will be turned to joy. Now watch. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. Jesus was speaking to his disciples about his death, about what he was going to go through, and about what they were going to face, that they would be separated. You're not going to see me for a bit. It's going to be the toughest thing that you've had to face. It's been unlike anything that you've ever faced. You're going to be separated from me. And then he says, but it's going to be okay. Because you're going to see me again. And the sorrow that you have, the sorrow and grief that you experience, is going to be so overshadowed by the joy that you experience that you will no longer, you're not going to remember the anguish, the pain, the sorrow, the struggle, because of the joy that you're going to receive when you see me again, because new life will be birthed. I remember the pain and the struggle of being there with Audrey, the work and the exhaustion, and then the miracle. And the moment when the struggle was turned into joy. A miraculous moment, and everything changed. It's not that you forget the sorrow. It's that you just don't remember it anymore, because there's such joy. The joy is so big, the sorrow falls to the background. You focus on the joy. It's not denying the difficulty. It's not denying the sorrow, the anguish, or the struggle. But loved ones, it becomes the focus on what's been accomplished. The sorrow and the struggle is past. The joy and the victory is now present. That's behind us. But isn't it something that of all the illustrations that Jesus could have used, with his guys gathered together, what they're going to face, these rough and tumble guys. Remember, two of them were named the Sons of Thunder. Jesus, you want us to call down fire on these Samaritans and wipe them all out? Of all the things he prepared them with, this is what you're going to face. Guys, it's like being a mom. It's like a woman having a baby, but it's going to be okay. And you know, I was thinking this morning, as much as we celebrate Mother's Day, and we really do, we're just so grateful for all the moms who are celebrating. Scripture tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. And this is always a very complicated Sunday. Lisa and I were chatting this week. It's a very complicated Sunday because there are lots of people who this isn't a celebrated day. There are lots of sorrows and lots of hurts for lots of reasons. And they change from year to year, but it's always complicated. And so we were back and forth. And Pastor and Kathleen and I were chatting via email about what do we do and how do we navigate through this complicated day. So for those who are really rejoicing, but man, we're with you. I remember years ago, when I was pastoring in Airdrie on Mother's Day, I pretty much ignored it because of the people who were coming, who there was hurt and there was pain and there was sorrow and there was sadness. But I leaned so far the other way into it that those who were celebrating essentially said I was having a great day until I came to church. And we didn't want that either. But we acknowledge that we have struggles and we have sorrows. We wish it could be different. But all the things that we're going through, whether it's connected to Mother's Day or not, the sorrows, the struggles, the heartaches, the separations, the disappointments, like it was true for Eve, it's true for us, is a result of living in a fallen world. Don't eat of the fruit, bad things will happen. And bad things happen and still happen every day in our lives. But Christ has come to give us new hope. Christ comes to give us hope. New hope. And we remember that the struggles are temporary and that one day they'll all be past. We'll be through them all. There will be a day when we will not remember how bad the struggle was nor how deep the sorrow was, because he will make all things right. There will be no more death, no more dying, no more sorrow, no more sickness. He will wipe away every tear. There will be a day when we just simply say, it is all joy being in the presence of the Lord. But until that day, we are faced with difficult things and we are faced with hard things. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your work, maybe it's your health. There are people here who have been diagnosed and nobody else knows about it. That's just what happens. We have fears, we have illnesses, we have sickness. There are people, relationships falling apart, and nobody knows. And loved ones, it may be dark all around you, and it may look nothing like nothing but nights. Hold on. Hold on. It's hard, and it's a struggle, and it's an effort, and things aren't right, but they will be made right. And the word, his word to each of us today is hold on. This is what Psalm 30 says, and then we're going to pray. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Whatever struggle you are facing, we're not going to, it is temporary and it's not going to be forever. And there will be a day when he sets all things right. We just won't remember the sorrow anymore. There will be a fullness instead of being sorrowful. There is a fullness of joy. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we look at your word this morning. We see you talking to the disciples, knowing what you were about to face. The crucifixion, the betrayal, all of it. Jesus, what you were about to face, you told them they were going to have some sorrows. They were going to have struggle. They were going to have grief. But it was going to be okay because you'd see them again. Lord, you told us that in this world we would have tribulation. And God, so many of us have such struggles and heartaches and sorrows. We pray now for everyone who is struggling, whatever we face. We bring our situations to you. We bring our lives to you. We say, Jesus, be Lord. Jesus, where there is illness and sickness and affliction, would you bring wholeness and healing and freedom? Jesus, wherever there is brokenness in our lives, broken relationships, broken hopes, shattered dreams, Jesus, would you bring wholeness? Wherever the battle has raged and raged for so long, God, would you just bring victory? Wherever the storm has gone on so long, would you just bring peace? Peace be still. God, in the midst of the storm, may there be peace. In the midst of the battle, may there be victory. In the midst of the sorrow, may there be joy. God, we want to, at this moment, just glance at our problems and fix our gaze on you. As we look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross. For the joy that was before, the joy that was ahead, endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus, you lived this. This wasn't just something you talked about. You lived this. Who, for the joy that was before you, you endured the cross. And so, God, for all of the things that we are enduring in this sick and fallen world, we have a joy of a future with you, fully and completely in your presence. So, God, I pray that you would lift up our heads out of our sorrows, out of our struggles. You would fill each person with life and hope, courage and strength and joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.